Epistle to the Hebrews, please. Chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Hebrews chapter 3. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For you are partakers of Christ, and if in hold, beginning our confidence steadfast to the end. First Corinthians chapter 9. Reading at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So run I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul speaking, he says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And finally, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the last part, faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And God would bless to us the reading of his own precious word. A few years ago, down in the island of Grenada, on a hot, muggy Sunday afternoon, The quietness of the day was broken with the noise of some commotion in the community. And I discovered that they were having some kind of an event that involved a race. Now I was up in the back of the Gospel Hall, and the hall is located on top of a high hill. And I could look down and I could see the community hall and, of course, the road down below me. A number of young people came out to start a race. Someone put a chalk line across the road. The contestants lined up to run. And they started. Now it's very hilly country, very mountainous. Although the road is paved, it goes up and down and around everywhere. And so a whole lot of people started running, and others running beside them to encourage them. And finally the din and the noise stopped, and I could get back to my quietness, what I was doing. I was studying. Anyway, sometime later, the contestants started coming in. There were some that came in a group. There were others that straggled behind, but eventually they all came back. And then I heard awards being given out. And the judges announced the names of two boys who were disqualified from the race. Yes, they had run very well. They ran fast. They went very quickly. But at some point, they took a shortcut down through a little lane, a little path that crosses over a little creek, and they came out on the roadway ahead of everyone else. And that's how they came in first. But as also how they were disqualified. So their names are announced. They were disqualified. How embarrassing. How very embarrassing. I suppose when they started towards the finish line, they thought, well, we're going to get the prize. Unaware of the fact that someone had observed them. Now, I would just want to spend a few moments this afternoon, and I want to speak to you about the race that every believer is in. The apostle, he made reference to, I believe, what we call the Olympic Games. I understand that they started about 776 years before Christ. I understand that in those games, the contestants, they had to all be of good character. They had to exercise regularly. In fact, for 10 months before the games commenced. And then there was a certain diet they were put onto. They weren't eating junk food. They had to maintain a very strict diet. It wasn't a diet that the average person would enjoy. They had to abstain from all luxuries. And they had to exercise in all types of weather. The judges were appointed. And the judges were to deal impartially with every contestant.
The race course had to be cleared of all obstacles. The place of starting had to be fixed. The judge would take his place at the goal. And he would have in his hand a wreath. A wreath made of olive or laurel. And he would crown the winner of the race. Of course, that crown that he would get would be something like people buy when they go down to the West Indies. They get one of those things made of palm fronds. Looks so nice and green when you get it, but after you've had it a few weeks, it's ready for the compost heap. But the fact is this. That's where it started. And so the Spirit of God, through the apostle, he takes up these thoughts of a race. And every believer is a contestant in the race. You'll notice that chart beside me on the wall. The door is Christ. The moment you trust Christ, that's the moment you and I start the race. When we came into this world, we started the human race that goes down to a lost eternity. But I'm talking about the race that the believer runs. If I was going to give a little text or just a little one-liner for my message, it's simply this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So run that ye may obtain. So run that ye may obtain. The runners in this race are those who have put faith in Christ. And it's not a case of me running against you and you running against me. But really in the Christian race, I'm running against myself. The enemy is not other believers. The enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm running against myself. Now, brother and sister, how long have you been in the race? Where are you? Where are you in the race? Let's consider a company of young believers, and all of us, when we're saved, we were young, right? I was saved when I was 7. Maybe you were 37 or 57, but when you were saved, you were young in Christ. Now let's think about where you and I are in this race. We all start in the same place. We've all been given the same rules. The rules are this, or the instructions. Hebrews 12:1. Be sure to lay aside every weight. Be sure to lay aside every weight. To relinquish the besetting sin. To exercise patience. And to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 really gives us God's hall of fame. Men and women of God who have already run the race. Then in chapter 12, we're beset with such a cloud of witnesses. In other words, here are those who testify to this fact that they've run that race, and we have them as examples. But we look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I think of some, all starting the race, and they go along pretty well. But soon I see someone and they're lagging behind.
Brother Bruce said something that really struck me. You know what it was? Maybe the best of our achievements are already behind us. Think about it. It's possible to live on past glory. But what am I doing today? They all start the race. But I see someone lagging behind. Why? He's got too much weight about him. He's carrying extra baggage. Back in the Olympics, you know, the runners in that race, they had very little on them. Very little to weigh them down. It's so easy for you and I in this world in which we're living to get weighed down with things. With things. Things that seem to be legitimate weighing us down. Things that occupy our time. And they're taking away precious time that could be used for God. What's more important to you? The prayer meeting? Or the sports activity with the children during the week? What's more important? The Bible reading or Sunday school? Or the basketball game or the football game? What's more important? I see one started the race. He's lagging behind. Then I see another. What happened? He drops out. Why did he drop out? Oh well, maybe it was some habit or some sin that he had before and he's picked it up again. Or maybe he never had this habit or sin before, but since he got saved, he's got involved in something he shouldn't be in. He's dropped out. Dropped out of the race. I see a third runner. The third runner is missing. Where is he? Where is she? Ran out of patience. Patience with who? Maybe patience with God. I asked God for something, He didn't give it to me. He didn't answer my prayer. I learned a long time ago that God sometimes says yes, and sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait. But He always answers prayer. Ran out of patience with who? Maybe I ran out of patience with myself. Maybe I'm so completely disgusted with myself. I figure there's no hope for me. Or maybe I ran out of patience with other believers. Or maybe I ran out of patience with circumstances. Whether it be at home or at school or in the workplace. But the Word of God says, run with patience. You see, it's possible to try to run. But you got to keep your eye on the Lord. The author and finisher of our faith. In those Grecian games, there was only one winner. And that winner got a corruptible crown. Something that was only good for the compost heap. But you and I, brother and sister, we're in a race. And the reward that is before us is a crown that is incorruptible, is a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness that fades not away. The judges in the Olympics, sometimes they're accused of being partial. Sometimes they can be bought. Sometimes they can be
influenced by politics. But the judge in this race, know ye not, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judge in this race is not impartial. He knows the thoughts and the intents of every heart. It's not for you and I to judge our brother. We see actions, but we don't see the motives. We don't really know. But the one with whom you and I have to do, he's impartial. I remember some years ago, and with this I close, I remember a Toronto conference. And I taught a Sunday school class, so we weren't out for the afternoon meeting. We came in late. And there was a preacher up, and he was waxing eloquent about the rewards. And I enjoyed hearing him. I was standing in the hallway. I think it was wee Robbie McClurkin. I think it was. But then he got speaking about, you know, what rewards he was going to get. And I stood there as a young man and I thought to myself, my, isn't he taking a lot for granted? You know? And then he finished up by saying this, won't it be wonderful to whatever reward I get, to lay it at the feet of the one alone who is worthy. May God bless his word.